Hello, my name's Dr. Sandra Cabot, and I'm joined today by naturopath Victoria Taylor.
Good afternoon.
And we're talking to you today about the best foods to heal your liver. And over more than 40 years of practicing medicine, I've seen so many people with liver problems and problems with their immune system, and they really don't have a clue that you can heal the liver through the way that you eat and picking specific foods which have powerful anti-inflammatory properties. And it's fantastic to have Victoria Taylor here today because she has encyclopedic knowledge of herbs and vegetables and has been growing them for many, many years. So we are going to start at the top and look at the most powerful foods and herbs to heal liver inflammation. And this applies to all types of liver inflammation because the liver can be damaged or inflamed from many different things, whether you drink too much alcohol, too many painkillers, too many medications that have been prescribed by your doctor. You may need them, but they still overwork your liver. Whether you have autoimmune liver disease, whether you have hepatitis from a virus, whether you have a fatty liver, because fat will inflame your liver. And there's so many things, that excessive iron in the liver. It doesn't matter what the cause of the inflammation in your liver, there are foods and herbs, as well as supplements, that can heal your liver. So, Victoria, tell us about the most exciting vegetables that you've used in your patients and you've grown yourself.
Well, I've taken the opportunity at the rear of our workplace to actually grow a liver, what I call a liver-friendly garden.
Yes.
Yes. Now, the family of plants that I love for the liver have to start with the brassica. That's the cabbage family vegetables. Broccoli is amazing. It's fruiting at the moment. We're taking home our little trees
and
to
And it's spring here.
Yes, spring here in Australia.
Just started spring in Australia, yeah.
Yes, and but the broccoli, also remember, if you grow it, you don't need to grow it just for the flowering heads. The leaves taste beautiful when they're steamed. They can go into a stir fry. Just about the whole plant and the stems can all be used.
And, you know, when you say brassica family, Victoria, that also is the same as cruciferous vegetable, right?
That's exactly right. Those names are interchangeable. And they're the cabbage family, whether it's, you know, cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower.
Kale.
Bok choy. And then there's also the kohlrabi.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, there's... And radishes.
Cabbage.
Radishes, your mustard.
Cauliflower.
Oh, definitely your
mustard,
cauliflower.
Mustard, radishes.
Yes.
They're all cruciferous
veggies, so they're all jolly, jolly good for your liver.
Because they're high in sulphur.
They are indeed, yes. Mm.
And also they've got a lot of chlorophyll in them.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Now, everything that does have sulphur in it is especially good for the liver. So the next one we come to is old stinky garlic. If you choose to grow it yourself, you can grow it in a pot. It grows in most areas over winter into spring. You can use the leaves in stir fries. You don't have to wait until you've got the bulbs. But garlic raw, chopped up in your salads, stir fried, fermented. You can ferment your garlic, and boy, that's a bit of a taste. That's a beauty. They are just it sort of boosts your immune system because having your liver in good health is boosting your immune system.
Yeah, well, always. Garlic's yes. great. And you can roast it, put it in a roast tin. The best way is having it raw, but not everybody has a strong stomach. So any way you can tolerate it is good. And, of course, garlic belongs to the onion family, so any onions.
Yes, but a lot of the other onions are also high in sugars. So you've got to be sort of have them in smaller amounts. But the more pungent your onions, the better they are for you. Mm. So, you know, the your sweet salad onions in small amounts, but the ones that sort of take your breath away are actually very, very good for your liver.
Yes. And the best lettuces, what would you recommend?
Now, your lettuces, I prefer them to be homegrown, whether you're taking a hearted lettuce, a cos lettuce, the leaf lettuces. But the commercial ones tend to be forced, fed a lot of artificial fertilisers, and they don't get all that much nutrition. Your homegrown ones will do you better. You can take the leaves all the time. The ones that I like are actually the bitters, the endives and the radicchio lettuce that actually better as a sort of almost like a pre-salad beginning to a meal, so that you get those bitters so that your body knows that there's food coming and the digestive processes are already starting.
Yeah, and starts the bile flowing.
It starts the bile flowing. Mm. It actually encourages peristalsis, so meal in, meal out.
Yeah, that's true. Great for constipation.
Yes.
So radicchio lettuces, yeah, they come in different colours and sizes. They're very beautiful.
What we tend to do is we actually do lettuce roll-ups. We do our, you know, finer salad and our proteins for our lunch and put that in the radicchio lettuce and then roll it up and have that as our finger food.
That's our wrap instead of bread.
It's our wrap and it works a treat.
It does. Yes. And it helps you lose weight.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you've got liver inflammation, and it doesn't matter from what cause, these radicchio lettuces and vegetables from the cruciferous family can really help to repair your liver. And another vegetable that we're growing is stinging nettle.
Yes, now stinging nettle, much maligned by most people, and I get a few quizzical looks, but if you go to the internet, you will see that there are a lot of recipes that use nettle in them. You maybe washing up gloves, a thicker glove to pick the nettle. You can cut it into smaller pieces, cut the leaves off with a pair of scissors. But once it's wilted, it's a green vegetable. The stinging hairs are gone and it's just so nutritious. It's got such health-giving properties. It's got beta carotene, it's got lycopene, so it has to be great for your eyes. Polysaccharides. Now, polysaccharides are found in most of your adaptogenic and healing herbs, as well as being a source of iron, potassium, and silicon. So, for the silica, that's great for all of our bones. That's
and
really
your hair
amazing.
And nails.
Yes.
So stinging nettle, now you'd recommend growing your own. It grows so easily.
It grows
and it will be organic.
So easily, yes.
Now what if you live in an apartment and you don't have a backyard? Can you grow it in a pot plant?
You can grow it in a pot plant and it will, you know, it will survive even harsh sunlight. Yes.
Great. And so when you say wilted, you wilt it in water? Or?
No. I prefer to just steam it. You put it above water and just wilt it, and then you can handle it, whether you want to put it in a stir fry, a risotto, or any of the other recipes that you can find online.
Yeah, there's
traditionally
a lot of
use
recipes.
Them. Oh, yes.
On the internet, it's fun.
Yes.
There's so many delicious recipes for stinging nettle.
Yes.
I think people are starting to realise that it can help your liver.
Now, I did have a friend once who told me that when the banks go broke, we'll all be eating grass. I'm just making sure that I've got good grass and that my weeds are all edible so that I live longer and that the people, my neighbours don't know what I'm eating so they won't come and pinch it.
Ah, that's funny. It's true, though. You know, sometimes people say to me, what do you eat for lunch? It just looks like you're eating a bowl of weeds. They say that, and I say,
yes,
but it's not. It's all my own homegrown leafy greens.
That's exactly right.
There's radicchio.
So there's baby spinach, kale, parsley. Oh, we do have parsley growing down the back. Yeah. You know, fairly big chunks of garlic with olive oil, lemon juice, and a bit of protein.
Look, yes.
It is absolute, and we wrap it up in our in the radicchio lettuce. It is an absolutely sustaining, fantastic, liver-friendly lunch.
Mm. It will heal your liver and help you to lose weight. What about dandelion leaf? Is that something people should have a lot of?
Now, look, dandelion leaf, it's a bit like radicchio. It's in that it is a bitter. The leaves are indicated for, it's a natural diuretic, so it's very, very beneficial for kidney issues, but it's also fantastic for your liver because it helps digestion. It gets that bile flowing. So anything that gets bile flowing helps the detoxification processes within the liver. I haven't been anywhere that I haven't been able to find a dandelion. They're very easily found on the internet, but they've got dandelion is dent de lion, which is the tooth of the lion. It's got jagged leaves that sit as a rosette on the ground, and when it comes to flower, there's a single fleshy stem that rises with quite a pretty sulphurous yellow flower, and when it comes to seed, it's a round, fluffy ball. And those are the seeds. If you find them in the park, it doesn't matter if a doggy might have weed on them or anything like that. You just plant those seeds in, it even can be in a planter box on your balcony if you're, living in an apartment.
Mm.
And they will grow and, reward you very well. And don't be afraid of bitters. If you have one dandelion leaf, one leaf of your radicchio lettuce, a small portion of endive, in a week it won't taste anywhere near as bad as it did on the first day. Your taste buds will get used to it nicely.
It's worth it for your liver, believe me.
Very, very much
so. Liver,
so.
Love your liver and live longer.
Yes.
Yes, a little bit of pain will be worth it. And with the dandelion, would you cook it? Or always have it raw?
Would have it raw. Well, I haven't tried it cooked, sorry. I just tend to go out to mine and pick a leaf before I'm having a meal and I'll just have a chew on it.
Because you could add it to a salad?
Oh, yes, fantastic in a salad.
Okay.
I mean, there's not too many people that do cook anything, any lettuces. I have been told, though, that lettuce soup is quite nice, but we're not going to go in there because that I'm digressing.
And the stinging nettle, obviously, you have to cook.
Yes, you do have to cook. Please don't.
A mouthful of prickles.
You don't want those stinging hairs around your tongue. No.
Yes, all right. Now, other great vegetables to heal the liver would be beetroot and carrot.
Oh, all your highly coloured vegetables, they have the beautiful polyphenols that are just so healthy, boost your immune system, absolutely fantastic for your liver.
Mm. And you can cook those ones. It doesn't damage their healing benefits.
Not at all.
Mm.
So you can ferment them too, and you can ferment them.
Fermenting.
Yes. That's when we start talking about. We're going to do more on fermenting, so
yes,
if you're interested, please keep posted.
Yes, because Victoria's going to do a lot of podcasts on fermenting. And, of course, that is something that can help your gut and your liver and your immune system. But with beetroot, you could juice it or you could grate it or you could roast it.
Yes, or you can boil it, peel it and add some sort of pickle it with apple cider vinegar.
Mm, okay. Now, eggs. We should mention eggs because they are a good old staple that can help your liver because they're high, once again, in sulphur, such as methionine and cysteine. There's the sulphur-bearing amino acids which help your liver. And they also have a lot of good protein and a lot of healthy cholesterol, which helps to satisfy your hunger.
Yes, now eggs also are a food that delay gastric emptying. So they sit in your stomach for longer, so you will feel sated for longer. And another good thing to do for your liver is to eat less. So having eggs, they will keep you feeling full for longer, so you don't eat as much, and it just takes the pressure off your liver.
Now, a lot of people get confused with things they read on the internet because there's so many differing opinions. They're not all correct. But people say, oh, I can't eat cruciferous vegetables. If I have broccoli or if I have cabbage or cauliflower, it's going to damage my thyroid and cause a goiter. And I think that's not true at all. You don't have to avoid the cruciferous vegetables. They're not going to damage your thyroid. They are better cooked. Well, broccoli is better cooked, but with cabbage, you know, that's a great way to enjoy a salad. And also you can ferment cabbage, such as sauerkraut.
And kimchi.
Yeah, kimchi. And, you know, the cruciferous vegetables have so many health benefits. So I think that's one of the biggest fictions on the internet.
I think maybe exaggeration, because the brassica family or the cruciferous family do have what we call goitrogens, in that they have chemicals that bind the iodine. But if you're going to sit, you could be asking for trouble if you're going to sit down and eat a head of raw cabbage. Now, the chemical that is the goitrogen is destroyed on cooking, so you're never going to have the problem with any of your cooked broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage. It's only raw, so if you're having coleslaw, don't have a whole head of a cabbage at one sitting.
Mm, that's right. It's very much exaggerated.
It's very much exaggerated.
Yes. The health benefits far outweigh any disadvantages. And most goiters, in other words, enlarged thyroid glands, are caused by a lack of selenium and iodine.
Well, definitely. And that will be the subject of another podcast, of how to get iodine effectively in your diet.
Yes, that's right. So what do we do, you know, if people are worried about insecticides and pesticides that are found on vegetables they buy at the supermarket?
Okay, there are some safe coconut-based detergents that you can wash in that will actually get rid of the fat-based pesticide residues. But really the best thing that you can do is soak your veggies for half an hour at the average, in diluted apple cider vinegar. Works a treat. You'll actually find after it that all the rubbish, the residue's going to be on the bottom of the bowl or your basin.
Yeah, the good
absolutely fantastic. Mm. Apple cider vinegar is just fantastic for everything.
I mean, it is ideal to have organically grown vegetables and herbs, and even better to grow them yourself and then have your own fertiliser. But that is not always possible. So it's still very beneficial to eat a lot of these things, the fresh herbs and raw vegetables and cooked vegetables. And what Victoria said about soaking them in the apple cider vinegar is very, very helpful.
That's right. Mm. And you don't have to wash the apple cider vinegar off. You can just crunch straight into your cucumber, your carrot, whatever.
Mm.
I mean, people add apple cider vinegar to their salad, so why wash it off your veggies?
Yeah, it's right. Mm. And always get the cloudy apple cider vinegar. We say it's got the mother in it.
That's right, because it's actually a source of probiotics for you.
Yes, and the cloudy bit comes from the fact that there's still a bit of the original apple pulp in it.
Apple pulp and also the probiotics that have been that fermented the apple juice into apple cider and then further on to apple cider vinegar.
Is it easy to make your own apple cider vinegar?
Oh, look, I've made quite a few litres of apple cider vinegar. Yes, very easy.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
What's the trick? Tell us.
Well,
it's good for your liver. It's good for your gut. We need to know.
Okay, now the way I've done it, I get cloudy apple juice. I've juiced my own apples. They are organic, so I leave the pulp on the apples for at least a week. I juice the apples, add the pulp, put it into a bottle, leave the lid loose and wait.
Hmm.
And that's all I have to do.
You juice the apple.
Yes.
And then the pulp that's left behind from the juice.
Like yes, but I add the juice and the pulp back into it just to add lots of as much nutrient as possible.
When do you add the pulp back into the juice? Straight away?
Straight away.
Okay.
And then, but I don't wash the apples first. So I'm doing mild fermentation like Sandor Katz does. And I I sort of juice them and then add all the pulp and the juice to a bottle, lid it, but keep that lid sort of loose and just wait for it to ferment. I mean, it does, and it does not go off.
You've got to let the air in to the bottle.
Yeah, you've got to let the gas exchange.
Otherwise, it'll explode, right?
A loose
lid, guys.
And I have, actually cultured it. I've used some, well-known apple cider vinegar that has the mother. It's well-known, comes from America. And I've used that. And the one that's not cultured, it tastes exactly the same. So it's terrific.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's so healthy, so good for your liver, will help you to heal liver inflammation. And other things that can help you to heal liver inflammation are specific supplements. Selenium would have to be the most important supplement to take if you have liver inflammation. Also, NAC or NAC.
N-acetylcysteine.
N-acetylcysteine. You can take it in a capsule form. One or two capsules twice daily, it's proven to help reduce liver inflammation in all types of liver problems. And also take a good liver tonic that contains your milk thistle and your B vitamins. And these things can really, really help to improve your liver function, to reduce liver damage, to help detoxify your body.
Now, it's also important to remember when you're wanting to reduce inflammation to remember your antioxidants, and the ubiquitous antioxidant that's in so many foods and is necessary every day is vitamin C.
Yes.
Yes.
And thank God for Linus Pauling.
Exactly right. Three Nobel Prizes that man won.
Yes, he was
absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
yes.
People forget vitamin C because they think, oh, that's old-fashioned. That was like 50 years ago.
Well, it was important then. It's been important since sailing days. And, I mean, James Cook actually, he saved his sailors because they had fermented cabbage.
Yeah, that's right.
Which provided those bacteria in the fermented cabbage provided sufficient vitamin C to save the sailors from getting scurvy.
Wow.
Yes.
That's fabulous. And, you get vitamin C in these raw vegetables and citrus fruits, and it's just so important. Berries as well.
Oh, definitely.
And take a supplement of vitamin C because it helps to mop up the free radicals that are produced when your liver is detoxifying. And the interesting thing as well, vitamin C is concentrated in your adrenal glands and your pituitary gland.
And in your joints so that it can actually reduce joint inflammation.
Great.
Yes.
Well, I'm going out now straight away into the garden to chew on a radicchio lettuce.
Oh, good. we'll share one.
Yes, we'll have some more tomorrow.
Okay, yes. Fantastic.
That's right. Okay, so you've been listening to Dr. Sandra Cabot and naturopath Victoria Taylor about the superfoods that you can grow or purchase to heal liver inflammation. Doesn't matter what the cause of the inflammation is, the same foods and supplements work. And the wonderful thing is, of all the parts of your body, the liver is the most able to heal itself and renew itself. So thanks for listening, and there'll be lots more podcasts coming your way. We're going to be talking about how to ferment foods to enhance their health properties and some of the best things you can do for your liver. So thank you, Victoria.
Well, thank you very much. And if anyone has any questions
yes.
that arising from this or any of our other podcasts, you may send an email that is available, that is there on the liverdoctor.com website.
Yes, email us. So we've got a fantastic team here of extremely knowledgeable people, very experienced, and we're here to help.
Yes.
Love your liver and live longer, guys.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.